I don't know why this thing does.
Blog Talk Radio.
Here's the actual tweet.
Okay.
NBA, I saw NBA New York have it. That's the actual one. It's from Bud Wayne, the Hollywood Bud.
Okay. Copy.
Where's your son at?
He's with his mom today.
Nice.
All right.
So you got the whole crew to yourself?
Yeah. Nice. Good thing. How did that come on? Okay, good. All right, we're good. All right. All right, ready?
Yep. All
right, cool. Let me start this up. Boom, boom. Looking good. Go back. Go back up. Am I on the right audio? Yeah, I am. Check. All right. Check one, check two, check three. Okay. All right, cool. Where is this one coming from, though? Okay, cool. Check. Okay. It's perfect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sending this on Twitter. It's DJ Khaled trying to...
I saw it, bro. I was cracking up. It was hilarious, bro. Oh, my Lord. Hilarious, man.
Yo, he has, like, no athleticism.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
It's funny as hell, man. All right, ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's go. All right, here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation on this Sunday evening, man. Another edition of Knicks Weekly, episode 60, man. The weekly recap show where we go through the good, the bad, and the ugly of the New York Knicks. On tonight's show, CP3 wants the Knicks. Is the feeling mutual, man? We're going to talk about that. Plus, Karl Anthony Towns, according to this Bleacher Report article, many executives expect Karl Anthony Towns to be traded within the next few weeks, which is pretty crazy to believe. And we're going to go through our top five moments of this next season, man. So definitely lock in, hit that thumbs up button for your boys, and let's get into it, man. Another edition of Knicks Weekly presented by KnicksFanTV.com. Alex Chitaro, CP the franchise on the ones and twos. Salute to everybody in the chat. Let's get it going. Okay. Let me turn my theme music down here. Sunday, June 11th edition, man. Episode 60. Al, how you feel, man? How was your weekend, bro?
Good, man. Just grilling.
Nice.
Hanging out. Played some pickleball yesterday, you know.
Oh, you got after on a pickleball.
Oh, yes, sir. I won my match, so that was good.
Okay.
Got that going.
Now,
I like playing singles, by the way. Some people don't know if you can play singles. I remember you
singles.
Being on with our guy, Evan. over at WFAN, and he's not sure how to play, but you could play singles. It's okay, man.
So you're telling me that you can play by yourself? You can play pickleball by yourself. Is that what you're telling me right now?
Yes, one versus one.
What? How? What do you play off of walls, like handball? Like, how does that work?
No, man. I don't play by myself. I have an opponent. So it's me versus the opponent.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's just singles. Instead of having doubles, like where you see four people on the court, one on each side, and you treat it like it's tennis.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just like that, man. I like the exercise. I like running back and forth. I like exerting myself. I don't like just hang out at the line, the kitchen line, and just volleying back and forth.
Yeah.
I'm young, man. I'm spry. I like to run around.
Interesting, man. Hey, that's good, man. Get it in while you can. You know what I'm saying? Get it in while you can. Because, you know, like me, man, my Achilles been tightening up, man. You know, I wake up, my joints is kind of achy. You know, it's a little like pre-arthritis thing I'm dealing with, man. So it's a little, you know, you just got to just get it in while you can. So that's all I'm saying.
Well, I remember the time you and Lady KFTV went to go play some hoops.
Yeah.
And the kids asked you to run it back, and you said no.
I declined. I respectfully declined, yes. But we did go out today. We did go out today. Lady KFTV and I went to go shoot around. Got a little intense game of around the world, if you will.
Oh.
Yeah. And I won.
Okay.
I got my redemption. Yep.
There you go.
Shout out to my guys at Puma. I rocked my new Puma RJ Barrett's player editions. And, you know, I just got into my bag a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to touch. No video. I didn't have any video evidence for the people.
Interesting. The video evidence goes away when you win.
It does go a long way. But, yeah, we went to the park, and I had to turn back the clock a little bit. So that was good. Yeah.
Okay.
That was definitely good, man. I got a shout out. I had a good weekend, man. I got to shout out my guy, Ty Morris, a.k.a. Knicks Fan TV Ty. He has a jazz ensemble, man, called the Perfect Pitch Group.
Ooh,
yeah, went to go check. Yeah, Perfect Pitch Project. Put some respect on the name. I'm going to put the link to their Facebook group in the chat. For those of you that are into jazz, live music, Ty and his crew do a great job. He partners up with some world-renowned artists and musicians. And, yeah, man, went to a nice – they had a Juneteenth-themed concert yesterday, man. So I went in and got that in early out here in Long Island. So shout out to Ty, man. Perfect Pitch Project, man. Great group, man. So if you're into jazz, you're into live music, man, definitely check them out and take a look at when they are doing their live shows, because it's really good. Great event for the family and some great talented musicians in that group, man. So shout out to Ty.
I do enjoy some jazz. I'll definitely check it out, man. Definitely check out their group.
Shout out to Ty, man. Big time supporter. One of our OG fans at KFTV. Also the KFTV enforcer, Al. So, So if you see me outside in public, man, you know, you better come correct. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. You know? Don't get caught lacking out there. All right? Because the enforcer, he's always close. He's always close by, man. So... shout out to Ty, man. Yeah, that's my guy, man. That's my OG, man.
He's got secret agents out here.
Yeah. You know, you gotta move carefully out here. So, I didn't
know Long Island move like that, CP.
Hey, listen, man. You saw me out there in the playoffs outside with the angry mob. You know, I mean, I was happy to be out there with the group, but you just never know, man. You just never know. You know. So shout out to the KFTV enforcer. Now. To some news, Al. Well, shout out to the NBA report. You know, shout out to we got the Rhyme Animal Chuck D in the building. He was a guest of ours on the NBA report. We had a great show with him. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I think it was 2 weeks ago.
I think it was 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Shout out to the Rhyme Animal. Shout out to the Rhyme Animal. Shout out to the NBA report. Everybody in the chat. If you guys haven't checked it out yet, we've been having some great shows, some great guests. Jamal Crawford pulled up on us last minute. On Friday, so we had a great show with JC. I had some good things to say about the Knicks, so make sure you guys tap into that on the NBA report. Make sure you follow that channel. A lot of people thought the NBA report was going to be the end of Knicks Fan TV. Yeah, we had to tell them, like, whoa, so slow your roll.
Look, man, why can't we talk about the NBA and the Knicks separately?
People
got to do around here, man.
People got it confused, man. They thought it was the end of KFTV, man. So not at all. We just doing double duty, man. We're covering the NBA at large with some of our favorite guests that you've seen here on the show. And yeah, that's basically how it's going to go down, man. The NBA report. I also said this was episode 60 of Knicks Weekly. It was actually 61. So let's correct ourselves there. Episode 61. Okay. CP3, Al. Now, news came out late last week,
mm-hmm.
that the Suns were going to waive CP3. Okay. Now, a lot of speculation there. Obviously, with the Phoenix Suns going all in for Kevin Durant, they have some depth issues. CP3 is getting he's getting older. He's got a big $30 million salary, of which $15 million is guaranteed. So they have a critical decision to make about the future of their franchise and where things are going to go. So now here was Woj on the future of CP3 and some teams that he may be interested in if he were to be waived. Here's Woj. Here he is. Okay. All right. There it goes.
Someone get Woj in a quiet room, man. Yeah. That guy sounds like he's under duress.
Yeah. He was in Miami under duress. So that was Woj. Okay. Now, here was Phoenix head coach Frank Vogel on CP3. Here was Frank Vogel. Here's what he had to say. This is courtesy of The Volume. Chris Mannix is showing The Volume. Here's Woj. All right, so that was the new Phoenix Suns head coach, Frank Vogel, speaking on Chris Paul. So he didn't get waived yet. June 28th is the deadline to guarantee his contract, and we'll see what happens from there. The Suns, obviously, they do need a point guard. They also need depth. So as Woj mm-hmm. was saying, they could bring him back on a lower number. They could try to trade him to a team for multiple players to make the salary match up and also get the depth that you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
or just let him walk outright. So it seems like the Suns are looking for answers. What's your take on it?
Makes you wonder what would have happened if they just allowed Mikal Bridges to be who he is over in Brooklyn and not made the trade for Kevin Durant, and you still had your depth, right?
Yeah.
And maybe if you were able to work with Jay Crowder a little bit more and he was a little bit more understanding of the situation, could have still had some depth because Cam Johnson also missed some time too.
Yep.
That whole situation in Phoenix is interesting now because Sarver sold the team, obviously, new ownership. He mm-hmm. wants to make an imprint on the team. You know, he was a big factor in trading for Kevin Durant, so he wants to see a contender.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Chris Paul's contract, it takes up a big percentage of what they're trying to do. You have the new cap that's going to limit teams and how many stars you can have on a team. Plus, you got DeAndre Ayton, who you have to figure out what you're going to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul being either waived, traded, that makes sense. I don't know if anyone wants to really trade for Chris Paul just because of the contract that he's on and his age and the injury prone. So if anything, I could see him being waived more so than anything else. With that said, I mean, if you're just asking for the situation, that's why I think about the situation right now. Should the Knicks go after Chris Paul? No. I don't think we need to do that. I don't think we need to do that at all because I'm looking at the situation where you got Jalen Brunson, you have Emmanuel Quickley right now. Unless you trade Emmanuel Quickley, then I could see getting another veteran guard to come off the bench if Chris Paul's ready to accept that role. But if the Knicks are intending to keep Quickley, you just allow him to continue to develop as that sixth guy off the bench to be your lead guard. So I don't see the need for having Chris Paul and adding another undersized guard, especially a guy who's now getting to the twilight of his career.
Yeah, I agree with you there, man. Look, could this be CP3 and his team using the Knicks to increase his market? Probably. We've been here before. This was the same scenario we heard before he went to the Phoenix Suns, right? He's got interest in the Knicks. He's got interest in the Knicks. And then we heard, well, he doesn't really want to move east. He wants to stay west, where his family is, where his kids are in school, so on and so forth. So he went to Phoenix. I think that's a similar situation here. Obviously, you know, Woj is going to throw he's going to throw the Knicks card out there. But I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't think it necessarily. Obviously, he can as a backup point guard off the bench. Could he help the Knicks if they kept Quick? Yes. As a free agent, I absolutely would hate the Knicks to use the mid-level exemption, the $12 million mid-level exemption on Chris Paul. I would hate for them to do that because, to me, they still need 3 and D wings, 3-point shooting. That should be the focus. And younger talent, man. Like, he's washed, man. He's washed.
Wow. He's throwing the wash title on there right now.
He's headed that way, man. He's got the dad bod. He's not healthy, right? You can always pencil him in for an injury. I don't think we need to go that direction, man. We've got to get athletic. We need defense, and we need 3-point shooting. Sure, we do need – I think we could use another backup point guard. But I wouldn't go that route for CP3, not via trade, and I wouldn't give him the mid-level exemption. We need that money for somebody else. Somebody in chat said Naz Reid. JJ said Naz Reid. Naz Reid. You know? Then you use your vet minimums, and you try to go get a Curry, a Burks, somebody else to fill out the back end of the rotation, some capable 3-point shooting. But CP3, I'm not using the small amount of money that we have to go bring him in. To me, they should spread that out and try to get, you know, a couple of people here. You don't have to use that full non-tax mid-level exemption, right? Like you don't have to use that full 12 on one person. You can spread that around.
Right.
So
wait. You're saying you want to bring in another backup point guard? Because I just heard you say
that. I would.
Okay.
Yeah. I definitely would. I'd like to bring in another backup point guard that could play alongside a Quick. But it doesn't have to be a CP3. I don't think it has to be a CP3.
Interesting. Are you saying that Quickly is going to be playing the two and not the starting like guard role off the
both.
Bench? Like,
they can play both. Okay. You got two guards, right? Doesn't have to be one point guard, one two guard. Another guard, a guy that can play make. A guy that can take the ball out of Quickly's hands, a guy that can play off a Quick, vice versa.
Okay. You say point guard, I'm thinking guy who's going to control the tempo.
Not necessarily.
Right. Just say Burks, man. We all know who you're trying to talk about.
I'm not saying that, man.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
You know, Burks would be, last resort.
Burks
would be last resort. We're going to get into that on our next week's show. We'll give our top five free agent wish list. Try to hear me bad on my Burks pick, man. Come on, bro.
This guy. Just say you want Burks, man. Just be honest with yourself. It's in your heart. We all know. You saying last resort. That's a bigger lie. Come on, man.
Stop it. Somebody in the chat said Burks is washed. He shot 40% from three last year. What are we talking about, man? Bugging. And then on the flip side, according to Jake Fisher, the Phoenix Suns could be interested in Emmanuel Quickly if they lose out on CP3. Question I have is, what do they have to offer that the Knicks would even want? You know what I'm saying?
If you're thinking about a potential Devin Booker trade, you're trying to add draft picks and other stuff to that, maybe, you know, if they're keen on Emmanuel Quickly, you could try to swing that type of negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Booker CAA, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you keep tabs on that one. If Phoenix is truly interested in someone like Emmanuel Quickly, but if they want him now, then obviously a Booker and Quick trade wouldn't happen. And not saying it would be Quick for Booker straight up or anything along that, but you throw Emmanuel Quickly in because of his contract, unless that extension is substantial, then you start making those type of negotiations, you know? Especially if Phoenix can't compete and they start to go south, which, you know, let's be honest, that's in the cards.
It's in the
cards. You just blew up the depth that you had for that team. Ayton has been unhappy. We don't know if Vogel's really talking about a guy like Ayton that he wants to be anchoring his defense and the type of center, even though he is saying the right things.
Yeah.
But as of right now, the Phoenix Suns are in an interesting and shaky, uneven place. So we'll see how that can transpire. But if I'm the Knicks, I'm taking that note saying, you like Emmanuel Quickly? Cool. We like Devin Booker, and we may be doing business later down the road.
Yeah, that's the thing for me with Quick, man. Let us know what you guys are thinking, man. 657-383-1509. Or you could hit us up on the KFTV Discord, man. So to everybody in the chat, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Knicks Weekly, episode 61, CP and Alex on the ones and twos. Only way I'm trading Quick is for a needle mover, period. That's it. You know.
Can you define what a needle mover is?
A true talent. If you're going to try to go get Embiid,
you know,
do I want LaVine necessarily? No. But if you're going to get LaVine, yeah, you would trade Quick. I don't want Cat. But if you're going to trade for Cat, you put a Quick in there, like that type of thing. Now, I'm not talking about like a Landry Shamet and, you know, some picks type of thing. I'm talking about a guy that is going to help the team improve it some way or another.
Okay. And is that just because contract extension or like where you see projection here for the team?
I'm just talking about roster shaping, right? Like I think they should give Quick the money. Right, whatever it's gonna be, it's gonna be close to $20 million. I think they should, and I think they will. But ultimately, down the road, to enhance his team, could I see him potentially getting traded? Yeah, I could.
Yeah. No, him potentially getting traded. I mean, look, we saw that whole slam video circling around where he expects to be a starter at some point.
Yeah.
So unless that path is created for him on the Knicks, he's probably going to want to leave and go somewhere else. And once again, if you're thinking the Knicks, he wants to be a starter somewhere, you're looking at Phoenix, right? And that's what I'm saying. You keep that in the back of your head. Okay, this guy wants to be a starter. If Phoenix is not on the up and up and Booker wants to go somewhere, you have that CAA connection with Leon Rose, World Wide West.
Yeah.
You know, this is where you start having those discussions. But even someone like Embiid, like I get having to move Quickly and like in an Embiid deal as well, but it's all good right now. We have just don't get me Karl Anthony Towns. Just don't. That's the last guy I want to see on this roster.
No cat for you, bro.
None, zero, zilch.
This guy doesn't want Karl Anthony Towns. He dropped a 60 piece last year, man. What happened, bro? You're not impressed.
What do you do this year?
miss 50 plus games. And speaking of Towns, this was an article in Bleacher Report from an Eric Pincus who says that rival executives believe that Towns could be traded in a matter of weeks.
Weeks.
In a matter of weeks. He says, let's see here. He talks about the extensions for Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels. You know, obviously Ant-Man will get the max. Jaden McDaniels seeking closer to 25 to 30 per year. Obviously you have Gobert on the team. He says the team won't be able to afford that. With Karl Anthony Towns and Gobert combining for only over $90 million in 24-25 season, dealing Gobert will not return anything close to what the Timberwolves paid to Utah. Other competing executives think Karl Anthony Towns will be long gone ahead of this 24-25 campaign. Some even believe Minnesota would jump at an opportunity in the next few weeks. Team's significant need is a point guard to replace Mike Conley, who was very good for the team after the deadline, but we will be 36 before the start of the season. Now, Pincus does, he does offer up a couple of potential trades here. He talks about potentially the Houston Rockets trading that number four pick in a package for Karl Anthony Towns and then going out there and getting James Harden, putting a Harden-Towns ticket out there for Udoka, jumpstart that Rockets compete. They're trying to move to compete now by putting some veteran stars in the mix there. But you say you don't want Towns, man. What's the deal?
I just think – I don't think he – defensively is the biggest concern, especially when you have Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
You know, you would need RJ to improve as well. I like the I like Mitch's versatility as a defender. I understand Cat being a good three-point shooter, but I also look at the contract, too. If you're going to get someone who's $50 million, that means they have to be a guy who's going to – really move the needle. He, if you get Karl Anthony Towns on that contract, he better be a legit second option that can help carry this team past the first round, past the second round. We're talking about going to the Eastern Conference Finals with a guy on that type of contract. When you look at someone like Zach LaVine, that's what you expect too with $50 million.
Yeah.
Same with Bradley Beal, but they're all in the same pot. They're all three guys that, you know, good offensive talents, haven't really moved the needle much for either one of their teams. So the contract, if the contract was less, I'd be willing to take that risk. But because it's $50 million with the new CBA coming around, I'm good, man. I'm good on that type of experiment.
Yeah, that's no for me, man. Look, it's not to say that Cat's not talented. Number one, if I'm paying $50 million for a guy, he better be healthy. That's one thing, right? The guy missed 50-plus games last year. So the durability is certainly a concern. The defensive issues is a concern. And it starts there, man. It definitely starts there. Look, I know the West was tough. Some people thought, you know, they gave the Nuggets some tough games. But I just don't see it. I don't see it with him, man. Offensively, I understand what he could bring to this team. But I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, it'd be good floor spacing. Like, I understand that, but you would then need a solid defender. I would want, if I'm going to get Cat, I would want someone like Bam playing the four, a versatile defender who you can, you know, move Karl Anthony Towns around the court to utilize his offense. Because, like, for a big his size, he's good at driving. He's good at three-point shooting. Like, in today's NBA, where it's either what everyone calls a layup line or a three-point shot, he's really good at that. I'd like to see him get a little mid-range to really be a three-level threat. But if you're asking that out of Towns, he can do that. But defensively, if you had it on this team, if you had someone like Brunson, RJ, Randall, and Cat, Knicks would have to be scoring 130 points to be winning games.
That, and that therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem, bro. So we'll see what happens. I don't think they trade Cat in a number of weeks. I don't think so. For one, they just traded for Gobert. They have a little bit of time before they do the extensions for both McDaniels and Edwards. I don't think, you know, they're on the line of that luxury tax where they have to make the decision on him now. I think it could be next year before they make that decision. The new GM who just got Rudy Gobert, you miss Karl Anthony Towns for 50-some-odd games. Now you're going to pull the plug on that after you make that huge investment in Rudy Gobert? I don't see them turning it back that fast. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I don't see them doing it that fast.
Yeah, I could see them doing it that fast. You made a mistake. You figure it out. Anthony Edwards is the guy that's going to demand probably $50 million at some point down the line if you want to keep him around Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Gobert, even though he has his playoff woes, solid defender. We saw what he did out in Utah. And even when Cat was out, Minnesota was thriving.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can get something like the pick and roll game with Gobert and Ant-Man going. You just need to have them, you know, develop that chemistry. And when you see the success without Cat, you have everyone else. I don't know, man. And with the new CBA, once again, where you can be essentially in cap hell if you have guys who are making that type of money, both of them, I could see why they would want to trade Cat right now. I guess who would Portland make that move?
I think for Cat, to me, that's the top destination, I would think.
Because I think that's the guy, right? Like, if you want to if you want to say we're trying to compete right now, Dame Lillard's still out there, you know, maybe you trade Anthony Simons to go get Cat.
Yeah.
You include him in that deal. That makes more sense to me.
Yeah, to me, that would be the number one target landing spot for me for Cat. I think that would be it.
And I feel like there's not a lot of pressure out there. You know?
Yeah.
You just had some losing seasons. You get some competitiveness out in Portland. Small market. Dame. I feel like that's the move.
Yeah.
Especially if it's so hard to get free agents out there, you make a trade for that guy. And you can experience some sort of competitive nature in Portland that you've been lacking the last couple of years.
True story, man. True story. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Call us up, man, 657-383-1509, or hit us up on the KFTV Discord. People saying the stream is lagging. I'm trying to figure out what the issue is right now. System seems to be running a little bit hot right now. So let me see what's going on there. Hang tight. But salute to everybody in the chat once again, man. Call us up, 657-383-1509 if you want to get in on today's topics. Salute to all the mods. Salute to all the fan channel members. Knicks Weekly, episode 61. How about Bradley Beal? Is Bradley Beal going to become available? Wizards welcoming in their new president on basketball operations, Michael Winger. And according to this article in The Athletic, there are many executives who think that the Wizards could be in for a rebuild pretty soon. Kuzma's a free agent. You have a Porzingis who wants a bag, and you got Bradley Beal who's already getting a bag. But where's it going to lead them to? They're not winning anything soon. Many rival executives that The Athletic polled informally over the last 2 weeks expect Winger to undertake a full rebuild, if not this season, then within the next year. What do you think about Bradley Beal, man?
I like Bradley Beal. Contract. Once again, it just comes back down to the contract, man.
Yeah.
So, but I think I like Bradley Beal. I actually think Bradley Beal would be if you're talking about LaVine, Bradley Beal, and Cat, I'd sign up for Bradley Beal out of those three guys, then LaVine, then Cat. Bradley Beal is just a really good scorer. That I would go in that direction.
Yeah.
Once again, it's just a contract, but it depends on like who you're moving out, all that type of stuff. But I think he would definitely help this team, like open up spacing, be another consistent offensive threat. You know, when you're looking for when we saw what the Knicks lacked in the postseason, you had someone like Brunson who showed you can get 41 points. You add someone like Bradley Beal, another consistent scorer, that would help.
Yeah,
that would help tremendously.
Yeah, I like that order. I would go Beal, LaVine, Cat if I'm looking to make a deal. Obviously, scoring machine. Don't like the lack of durability. Yes, it is a big contract. It's tough, man. It's a tough call. As Russell Whiskey in the chat says, it'd be a bad defensive backcourt. The fit with Brunson is going to be key, man. You know, it's definitely going to be key, especially if you're going to keep RJ there at three. If you're going to have two guys like that, whether it's Brunson, LaVine, you need a solid, solid, versatile wing defender out there. More than solid. You need a great one. You need a great one. Point blank. So, you know, the fit is just interesting. I think at the bottom line, man, like on these big ticket acquisitions, they sound great. They sound hot. And, you know, as Fred Katt had said on this show, with the Brunson contract being so cheap right now, you have a couple of years before you got to max him out. So now might be the time to try to go get someone. But, you know, depth is the key, man. Depth is the key. So regardless of who these guys are, you're still going to need depth. Like whoever they go out there and get, if they do go out there and get somebody, it's going to put them in an immediate position to contend unless they have the proper depth behind that. Miami's showing you how key depth is. Denver's showing you how key depth is. The difference between the two teams, Denver's got the superstar talents. Miami don't. So they ran out of options. You know what I mean? But their depth is certainly what has carried them. So it's a tricky build, man. It's a very, very tricky build, no matter how, which way you slice it, man. So
difficult. And do you think, like, if no one has checked out you and the Cats interview, definitely go check it out. A lot of great stuff with how the Knicks should approach this offseason. And what Cat said is that you be patient. You don't force anything, right? Mm-hmm. Someone will become available, make the right decision. But this could also be a time for the Knicks to make around the margin moves and watch how the landscape unfolds with this new CBA instead of being an example, right? Sometimes it's not good to be an example unless you have a clear cut way. And who knows, maybe Brock Auer knows the way how to navigate all of this. He's done the research already. He's keen on all the cap maneuvering as it is. Maybe he knows somebody that he can bring in here with talent-wise and the money, and it could be fine, and you can fill out that roster. But if you're trading for someone like Beal, $50 million, right, you got to match those contracts. A lot of the guys that we have are on good value contracts, you know?
Right.
To match Beal, you need
RJ.
Just to put in perspective. Put in perspective, right? You either train two guys like someone like RJ and Randle to match that contract, or if you got guys like Obi, Quick still on their rookie contracts, you're adding in like four, maybe five guys to match them. And then you're just killing your depth right there. We just saw what happened to Phoenix.
Yeah.
So that's why these guys – that's why I'm like when you see the names Cat, Levine, Beal, like – I have nothing against them as players. It's just a contract and what you're giving up to go get those guys, right? Because you're not going to be able to compete in the playoffs at all. If one of those guys goes down, it's all over.
You're cooked. You're absolutely cooked. But that's why, to me, you know, you look at a team like Miami, they're in a good spot. Because if they went out there and, say, you try to go get a Dame, they could go get Dame, trade Hero, some picks, you know, Lowry for a contract, maybe something else. But you could still potentially have Strus, Vincent, maybe even Martin, because he's still making $6 million a year, Jimmy Bam. So they're in a good spot. And that's where coaching and player development plays a big role. You know, it plays a very big role because at this stage in the game, they had three guys contributing who are still on very, very minimal contracts in Strus, Vincent, Martin. Those guys are big parts of their rotation, and they're not even making that much bread, you know? So it's like for the Knicks, to me, they just need to just try to keep improving the team, as you said, on the margins. I think they need to go out there and try to go get a draft pick in the first round, try to get somebody on a rookie scale contract that's going to go out there, a Christian Brown type that's going to go out there and get it out the mud for you, can knock down a three, play some defense for you. Go get some more vet minimum contracts. Use a mid-level wisely. Try to get another piece there, maybe another wing. I don't know if a Torrey Craig is somebody that they can get. But they got to keep building that way, man. You got to keep building that way because the depth is going to be crucial for their next run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look, even with the CBA, they're looking towards having like your two guys, right, where you have a team full of depth and you're not trying to create these crazy super teams, right? That's why they, not a hard cap, but they've made it closer to being a hard cap than it was softer than it was previously. I think the thing that I'd like to see the Knicks do is what you just said, though. I want to see them trade into the first round, because they don't have a pick, and get somebody on a good rookie scale contract, and you're going to have to shake it up, man. You got to think about Obi, Quickly, you got Grimes, you know, you got McBride, you got all these other guys, you got Sims still here. And thankfully, after this season, you're not going to have all the contracts we're talking about, right? We're not going to have the $17 million for Fournier. It'll be a team option next year if he's not traded this offseason. You won't have Derrick Rose. The books will be pretty clean for the most part. But I'd still like to see someone on a rookie scale contract. Look what Brown is doing for Denver, right? That rookie.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see Tibbs do what Malone is doing, what he did throughout the regular season, and get somebody like that prepared for the playoffs. And this is not saying Tibbs doesn't play the kids or anything like that, but I like to see that because it just continues to add to the depth. That's good culture development. It's good adding to the culture, good player development, I should say. So I'd like to see that happen.
Yeah.
Just because at this point, we have vets, right? All these guys are now past that stage where like, oh, they're young, they're still early in their rookie scale contract. They may be on their rookie scale contracts, but being in your third, fourth year, now you're seasoned a little bit. Now you're seasoned.
Yeah, true indeed. True indeed, man. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys, CP and Alex, on the ones and twos next weekly episode 61, man. Let me salute some of my guys in the chat. I see Flashy in the chat, man. Flashy just drops a $20 super chat. Definitely appreciate it, my guy Flashy. Long time listener of the show. See a couple franchise channel members, Brandon Guest, Russell Whiskey in here, Jay Boogie's in here. JJ, how you feeling? So to everybody, man, C. Marshall in here. C. Marshall, how you feeling? Talking about a couple of free agent or off-season potential targets, man. What do you guys think? Leave us some comments in the comment section or call us up 657-383-1509 or you can hit us up on the KFTV Discord. Fellas, Father's Day is right around the corner, and if you haven't gotten your dad anything yet, you still have time. That's where our sponsors of today's show, Manscaped, comes in. You and I both know he needs some serious grooming in his life, so grab your dad the Performance Package 4.0, and he'll thank you for helping him tame his beast. It's a win-win situation for both mom and dad. Go to manscaped.com, use promo code KFTV for 20% off, plus free shipping. And that Performance Package 4.0, fellas, obviously it starts with the Lawnmower 4.0, number one's men's grooming tool below the waist. You also get the Weed Whacker in that package. And they also have the amazing products like cologne, the Crop Mop Ball Wipes, Crop Reviver Ball Toner, and Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. So get dad a gift that you know he will use and tell him. No testimonials. I know your dad's a friend of the show. He's a fan of the show. Just let him know, man. No testimonials. But go get dad his gift before it's too late. Manscaped.com, promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping. Okay. What else, man? We got finals game 5 going down tomorrow. We'll be live on the NBA report tomorrow as well, getting some pregame in. I'm going to try to get John Kozinski, who covers the Timberwolves for The Athletic. We'll do a little bit more deep dive on Karl-Anthony Towns. Also talk about Naz Reid, man. Naz Reid, a name a lot of Knicks fans are looking at as far as free agency is concerned. And when you look at what the Timberwolves have on store in terms of who they need to pay, could Naz Reid be a casualty of this, right? Only made $1.6 million this year. Could he be a guy that shakes loose because they have to pay Ant-Man and Jaden McDaniels, already paying Gobert and Towns over $90 million? Could he be a guy? We'll see, man. We'll try to talk to John tomorrow. I'm about to send him an email after this.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see where Naz Reid ends up. All these guys want to get paid at some point.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Who else we got in the chat here? I think I did see another super chat that came through. Salute to everybody in the chat. Pete Cruz, franchise channel member. Salute to Pete Cruz. Welcome to the franchise channel memberships, man. We definitely appreciate your loyalty and support. If you guys are new in the chat, man, leave us a hashtag new. We'll shout you guys out as well. And absolutely, man. Great show. We got 800 people in here so far. Also, hold this L, Super Chat says, who would you guys rather have, Cam Johnson or Josh Hart? Well, for the three-point shooting, obviously Cam Johnson, but, you know, he's going to be a restricted free agent that the Knicks can't afford. However, Josh Hart, Al, he did come out on the Taylor Rooks podcast, and he talked about that he'll likely opt out of his deal, which we expected. Josh Hart has a current contract in which he will likely opt out of. become a free agent, but all signs point to him staying with the Knicks. This is a relationship that has fostered well over the regular season. Obviously, that's Jalen Brunson's right-hand man. Josh Hart finding a home here. And, you know, 16 to 18 is the range, man. I think that's what you can expect for Josh Hart. What do you think about bringing him back at that number?
I think it's a good number to bring him back at for what he offers his team. Defense, I like his efficiency, ability to attack out in transition. I think he's a good player to have, man. You need somebody like that, especially for a guy like Tibbs, who there are coaches who can figure out how to fit a player into their system and utilize their strengths. Tibbs is more of the guy that's like, I have a certain way. I need this player to fit that certain way. And that's really who Josh Hart is. You know, and even with the question we receive, would you rather have Cam Johnson or Josh Hart? If it was a different coach, I'd probably say Cam Johnson. But because this is Tibbs, I'm going to go Josh Hart just because I know how Tibbs likes to run his team. But Josh Hart, I'm happy with him, man. I'm happy with what he's done, what he's shown for the Knicks. You hope that he can show that. I know the 50% shooting on low volume is absurd. I'm not expecting 50% throughout the entire year, but
yeah,
I'd like to see him up that volume to like 4 and shoot league average at least, which he's shown he can do in the past. But I think he's been a good signing. I'd like to see what he did this season and just more efficient three-point shooting next year over a course of 82 games.
Yeah. Look, as Father Peace in the chat said, they gave up a first-round pick for Josh Hart. There's no way they're letting him walk. They're not letting him walk. If it wasn't for Josh Hart, the Knicks don't make it to where they are. That's just point blank. You know, Brunson set the tone. I thought Hart was a finisher. It's just like the Knicks run 2 years ago. Julius set the tone. Rose was a finishing piece to getting in that 4 seed. To me, this was a similar circumstance. As soon as he got here, they took off. He brought toughness. He enhanced their defense, getting them out in transition. The rebounding reputation that he came in with right off the bat got to it. That helped their defense. That helped them offensively get second chance points. They were even better at that point.
Mm-hmm.
When he first got here, he shot the ball a lot better from 3, which is good. It was a good 3-point shooter. Obviously, in the playoffs, that changed. But I don't want his playoff performance to cast a bad perspective on what he can do for this team.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Because I still think he covers a lot of holes for them. And yes, you know, it gets tricky offensively depending on who you have him out there with. To me, the proper role for him is going to be off the bench. Him and Quick. Him, Quick, Obi. Let that be your 1-2-3 punch off of the bench if Obi and Quick are here next year. You got to use him in the right way. And obviously, if you need him to close in certain situations, he's more than capable of doing so. I think his role is fine.
Yeah, I think his role is fine. And for – I see people wondering, like, how much – like they hear the number and now we still have to adjust for what the salary cap, like these crazy numbers for NBA players, but the cap is going to be $134 million
right
next season.
Cap goes
up. That's the projection, right? For his salary, for making $18 million, that's only 7% of the cap. So in relation, it's not much, especially when you have guys like Brunson, Randall, RJ, on favorable deals still. And once again, it's not a hard cap. It's not you have to be at 134 like it would be in the NFL. Because a lot of these guys are signed on this team, there's some flexibility too, so it can go a little above that. So for what Josh Hart would be making, it's not bad at all. And
not.
I put this into consideration. Who would you rather have on $18 million? 17 to 18 million. Would you rather have Evan Fournier or Josh Hart?
Right.
That's your question right there. And Fournier is not going to be – he's technically still on the books for next season. But after that, think about Hart replacing Fournier.
Right.
With that money.
Yeah. I mean, I think the people looking at it like, you know, 18 mil will be crazy. You got to look at it in relation to what the new cap numbers are going to be, what percentage of the salary cap that is going to be, and look at his comps. I mean, Norman Powell making 18 mil. It's a good player. Norman Powell, good player. Duncan Robinson, 18. Fournier, 18. Keldon Johnson. Sabonis this year is making 18. Obviously, that's going to go up. Joe Harris making 18.7. Tim Hardaway Jr., 18.7. Eric Gordon, 18.8. Colin Sexton, 17. Spencer Dinwiddie, 18. OG, 18, but that will change. He's going to get a big payday, I think, somewhere. Clint Capella, 18. Derek White, 17.5. Jonathan Isaac, the guy's not even playing, can't even play, 17. Bogdan Bogdanovich, 17. Lou Dort, 16.5. So, I mean, you know, Herter, 16. So, I mean, I think this is within range. I think it's in within range. It's a pay raise in relation to the cap numbers. Yes, Norman Powell is making that 18, but that was a deal that he got 2 years ago.
Right. You'd probably be making 20 now or a little more.
Correct. So, DM saying Norman Powell is way better than Josh Hart. Yes. However, this is the deal that he got like 2 years ago.
It's similar to the whole Fred VanVleet contract and Jalen Brunson contract, in my opinion. You think about what Fred VanVleet make, like 80, 90, somewhere between there. That was 2 years ago. Brunson made the similar contract 2 years later.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And most of the guys that you named, I would take Josh Hart over Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah.
For the impact that we saw that he had on this team, you know, you talked about Bogey, talked about Herter. Like, I like Herter, too. I'd still take Josh Hart for his defensive versatility,
mm-hmm.
his ability to attack and transition. So, for this team, right, for this team, I like Herter. But with all those names, I'm not saying Hart's better than Herter, but I'm saying with all those names, they're all in the same pot where it's like they all have one really good skill set that you can rely on, but they're a solid role player. That's it.
Yeah. That's it, man. So I'm fine with the number. I think they will get him there. That'll be that. We'll see what they pay Quick. I think Quick will get closer to 20. And look, we'll see. You know, these are still these still become tradable contracts down the road. I believe that. And you're going to need salaries to trade. If you're not going to you're not going to trade Brunson. Do you trade Julius? Maybe he's part of that. Do you trade RJ? Maybe he's part of that. But you know, you're still going to need other guys to match salaries if you go out there and get a big piece of the puzzle. Or else, like you said, now you're going to be parting with several young guys, several draft picks on top of your salary guys.
Yeah, if I'm getting someone $50 million, you better be taking me to a championship.
Yeah. That is it, man. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Knicks Weekly, episode 61, live and direct. Let's get to the phones. Area code 201. What's your name? Where are you calling in from?
Hey, what's up, man?
Yo, what's up? Who's this?
I'm Albert from Jersey City.
Albert from Jersey City. What's good?
What's up, man? Hey, I had a quick question. Not a quick question, but I was just hearing some – I actually watched some video. Just the guy, the Lakers Nation, what's his name? I forgot that white dude.
I don't know. This is the Lakers, TV, man. We don't know about them.
The dude said the Lakers want to trade the 17th pick and Malik Beasley for our center, Mitchell Robinson.
Did
you do that?
I didn't hear that. The number 17 pick. Appreciate the call. Number 17 pick and Malik Beasley for Mitch. Did you hear that?
I did not hear. Wait, I'm going to research that right now. Malik Beasley?
Yeah. Malik Beasley, 17th pick. I didn't hear that.
I did not see that at all.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on who do you want at 17. Is he still there? Is he still there? Let's get him on the line. Is he back? Albert, who you want at 17?
Nah, I'm saying, I was asking you guys, what would you think about that? Because I know we have Mitchell Robinson on a great contract. I'm not giving up. That's
Yeah. I like Mitch. I think he does a lot for this team. If I might give him up the seventh, giving up Mitch for the 17th pick and Malik Beasley.
Is there a center? I don't even know. We're still doing draft stuff, but who's the center that we get to?
It depends on who's there, man.
Do you want Malik Beasley on this team?
I did before the trade deadline. I don't know. He couldn't even crack the Lakers rotation.
And they were doing well without him.
They were doing very well without him. I don't know. I don't really see him as like a... go grab him. I mean, not for Mitch, man. I think Mitch does way too much for this Knicks team to just get rid of him like that. And again, it depends on who you bring in at 17.
Yeah, and if you replace Mitch at 17, I need a center who's going to have that similar production that we saw against Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. I don't know. That's tough, man. I need to know who's at 17, who I would like, because you can't take a guard at that point. Now you're just giving up your rim protector.
Right. Breeze World says if they give us Beasley and Vanderbilt in the 17th pick, I would do it. Yeah. You give me Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Hard Tackle says Bam cooked Mitch. Man, Bam's killing, man. Bam's killing. Salute to Trevor. Salute to Albert. I think he's talking from Lakers Nation. He's talking about Trevor Lane. Lakers Nation is the Lakers Nation guy. Salute to him. Yeah. All right. Salute to everybody in the chat, man. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Oh, I gotta tell you guys about another sponsor of the show, man, and that is Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs, man, the makers of some really cool khakis, man. Bird Dogs make stretch khaki shorts that are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg, giving you a nice sculpted look, man. Their shorts do the exact same thing as Lululemon, but fit way better. Fit better than regular shorts that are kind of stiff and restricting cotton. And so shout out to our guys at Bird Dogs, man. Listen, go to birddogs.com and /pool and enter promo code pool, POOL, for free Yeti style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/pool for free Yeti style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off. We promise you, man. And like I said, they use an anti-stink sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day. So shout out to Bird Dogs and their cool khakis. Obviously, it's summertime, man, so you want to be out there looking your best. Go out there and go to birddogs.com/pool for a free Yeti-style tumbler with your order. All right, so shout out to Bird Dogs, man. Shout out to Bird Dogs. Okay. The quiz said he probably heard that rumor on Lakers fan TV. Shout out to Russell Whiskey. He says, centers and point guards usually need years to develop. We're not drafting a playoff-ready replacement for Mitch at 17. True story. True indeed, man. So to everybody in the chat, top five moments of the season, Al. What do you think?
Here we go.
What do you think came in at number five? What do you think came in at number five, man? What's your guess? We went through Brunson signing. We went through the Julius buzzer beater. The Knicks beating the Nuggets. Beat them twice this year.
Mm-hmm.
They had some good ones.
Mm-hmm.
They had some good ones, man. What do you think? What do you think comes in at number five, man?
Something's telling me I was at this game, though. Something telling me I was at this game. Does it have to involve one Emmanuel Quickly?
It does. It does, man, because Emmanuel Quickly with no Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson having been injured in the Heat series, in the Heat game with an injured foot. IQ starting at the one, it goes absolutely ballistic and leads the New York Knicks to a double overtime thriller. 131-129 victory over the East leading Boston Celtics, man. Just an absolute sensational two-way game from Immanuel Quickley, man. Starts the game off knocking down like a 40-footer from three. That's how you know he set the tone. And that was that, man. And that win, this win over the Celtics, was another part of the Knicks' winning streak. This was number nine. This was number nine. Many people thought that without Brunson, this was going to be a tough one to win. But this was a sensational win, man. 131 to 129. One of the Knicks' best wins of the season, no doubt about it. And Immanuel Quickley's 38 was a big part of it, man. What do you remember about this game?
Being in that building, that was phenomenal because Knicks were down. It was just pressure. If you were a Knicks fan in that building, you just felt the pressure. You felt the Celtics fans just wanted to, you know, just the showboat in your face that this team's going to finally get redemption after losing the first time in Boston to the Knicks in overtime. Now you get a double OT game. This game was just phenomenal by Quickley, man. The way he was just putting on a clinic. He did anything that he wanted, whether it was shooting threes, driving, floaters. His defense was there. He had some crucial steals in this game, too. Quickly put on full display why he was in consideration for Sixth Man of the Year with this type of performance.
Yeah.
And, you know, you wish you had this obviously in the playoffs, but to see where he started to as a rookie to now, this game showed how much work he put in the offseason, the development of this team, the culture that you have. Gritty performance by Immanuel Quickley, man. Just a phenomenal. 38 points?
38 points, man. 38 points. IQ puts on a show. And it was after this game where his stock as the NBA Sixth Man of the Year rose to the top, man. After this game, IQ became the odds-on favorite. He didn't win it, but became the odds-on favorite to win the NBA Sixth Man of the Year. Didn't get there. Obviously, you know, could have had a better playoff performance by his standards for sure, but this was a good regular season win, man. Getting the Knicks to their number nine victory. You had some solid showings from Julius Randle. RJ Barrett hit a timely three down the stretch. But it was time and time again, just when you thought this team was cooked. After it went into overtime, you're like, damn, they don't have nothing left. IQ came through again. Double overtime, he comes through again. So it was big, man. Big game.
Through the entire overtime experience, right, for Immanuel Quickley, he led the Knicks. Let me just pull up the stats right here. Yeah. All OT. He made 4 of 8 in overtime.
Yep.
Shot 50% from the field. Got you 9 points. When the next guy with the most amount of points was Josh Hart with 5. He was so critical in overtime, man. But the funny part of this game, though, the funny part of this game is hearing the Boston fans behind me wonder where this guy came from. That was with their Boston accents wondering, where's Immanuel Quickley came from? Now, obviously, we know. Kentucky, man.
Yeah.
These guys thought he went to St. John.
You can't make it up, man. You cannot make it up. No, just absolutely excellent performance, excellent showing by these guys. And, you know, just gritty. And for Quickley, oh, maybe this was one that gets him the bag. Maybe this was one that gets him the bag. Okay, number four, Al. Number four on the list is the Knicks going on a 9-game winning streak, man. That was a big moment of this Knicks season. No question about it. Knicks ripping off – I got the wrong graphic up here. Knicks ripping off a couple of impressive wins, including that one in Boston – over the Celtics. Also, you included the Julius Randle buzzer beater. You know, I thought this portion of the season coming together late, hoisting up a 9-game winning streak, I thought it allowed this team to really get the momentum that they needed to ultimately secure that number 5 seed and go into the playoffs, man. You know, with the Hart acquisition. And remember, you know, a lot of this came when, you know, Brunson was out. They were still able to string together some wins. I thought it showed some good resolve. You saw some good resiliency from a lot of their supporting cast.
Mm-hmm.
And good job by Tibbs. The Knicks had a couple of nice win streaks, man. They had 8, and this one was 9. And late in the season, late into March, they had a 9-game winning streak, man. So good job by them.
Absolutely. Good job by this team and showing off the resiliency, as you noted. And it was really that Josh Hart trade that we talked about, even though he doesn't like to put himself at the forefront of why this Knicks team went on the 9-game winning streak. His performance was huge, man. As soon as he got here, look, through those nine games, Josh Hart was averaging 28.5 minutes. He was scoring, where's the points? Points, he was scoring 11.3 points per game, shooting 62% from the field, shooting 60% from downtown on low volume, about 2.5 threes per game. But he was also getting you over 5.5 rebounds,
mm-hmm.
getting you 3 assists. Dude was just a problem, man. He was just a problem. He was a plus 12 through those 9 games, and you saw the impact because of his defensive intensity, his hustle, really changed the dynamic of this team and adding some adding more depth, right? Like, we had Miles McBride, and nothing to take away from what Miles McBride did when Tibbs went to that 9-man rotation, but swapping out McBride for Hart really catapulted the Knicks into what you said, making them that 5th seed. And whoa, we saw them take out the Cleveland Cavaliers after getting that type of, after creating that nucleus of the team. So
yeah,
it was a good showing throughout that 9-game winning streak.
True indeed, man. True indeed. Number 3, the quiz says number 3 is CP3 free throws. No. Number 3 on the list is Jalen Brunson's dropping a 48-piece against Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers, man. Yeah, man, this one was a classic. March 31st, Friday night in Cleveland, the Spider and Brunson go shot for shot. Anything you can do, I can do better type of situation. And Jalen Brunson gets the best of him, man, gets the absolute best of Donovan Mitchell, putting on a show in Cleveland. This was the night after the Knicks had lost, well, the game after the Knicks had lost Julius Randle to the ankle injury. So Jalen Brunson had to come in here and really put the team on his back after he was coming back from the foot injury and things of that nature. So just an absolute elite offensive performance, offensive showing by Jalen Brunson, man. A stellar 48-point performance to lead the Knicks to a 130-116 victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers, and really sending a message, Alan, setting a tone, said the Spider, hey, listen, if we see each other in the playoffs, y'all better buckle up. Y'all better buckle up.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Look, in the first quarter, Cleveland was leading the game 47-42, right? And Donovan Mitchell had 23 points in that first quarter.
Yeah.
But not too far behind, 21 points for Jalen Brunson. And he would just go on to show you in the playoffs why Jalen Brunson is him. Excellent performance, 48 points. I mean, he just showed why he was – why he's been – it just shows why he was snubbed from everything this season. Should have been an all-star, should have been all NBA. This guy is truly a talent. The Knicks have him on the steal of a contract. That performance – gives you confidence. It just keeps adding on to what he did throughout the season, right? We talked about that Chicago Bulls game where he broke Caruso's ankles. This game really said, you think you're a superstar, Donovan Mitchell? I'm a superstar too. I can keep up with you. And he proved it, man.
Yeah.
This guy still put up over 40 points in a game 6. So this game was just not only a testament to Brunson battling through injuries, his grit, his intelligence, high-level thinking of the game, but just that you can consistently rely on him to be bigger than what you expect from a player when the lights are the brightest.
True indeed, man. Well said. Coming in at number 2, what do you guys think in the chat? Number 2 is, what do you guys think in the chat?
STM said, build around Brunson.
Build around Brunson, man. What do you guys think is number 2? Number 2 is... I'm trying to get my thing ready, man. I'm bugging out. Number 2 is the Knicks clinching a playoff spot, man, for the first time in 2 years. The Knicks clinching this playoff spot with a win over the Wizards, man, 118 to 109. Knicks getting it done, man. And, you know, look, it was a tumultuous year for these guys. They started off behind the eight ball, lost a couple of tough ones, had some embarrassing losses, but they got it together. They put an eight-game winning streak together.
They turn off the game sound. It's on. It's running.
Oh, crap. Hang on. Is it? Are you sure?
Yep. People in the chat are saying the game audio's on.
Hang on. Oh, it is. Okay. All right. That was my fault, people. That was absolutely my fault. Okay. So, once again, coming in at number two, man, the Knicks clinch a spot in the playoffs with a 118 and 109 win over the Wizards, man. April 2nd, of 2023, clinching for the first time in 2 years and clinching that five seed, man. Big. I thought that was big. Given where the team was, the slow start, Tibbs thinking his job might be on the line, depending on, you know, who you believe, if you believe those reports. You know, the Hart acquisition, what Brunson had been, the Randall All-Star appearance, quickly season, it all came together, and these guys were able to clinch the number five seed in the playoffs, man. I thought this was a big moment for them this season. Number two on our list.
Absolutely, and it was done in a convincing fashion where, look, I jumped out the window multiple times this season, and I believed in what this team was doing, that they could make it past the first round, and they did that. And not only did you have the excitement for them making the playoffs again for the second time within three seasons, when the last time we saw them was the 2012-2013 with Melo and everybody, right? So it was, you add on to that, you think about it, as you talked about how, where the season started, we're battling over whether Cam should be getting minutes or not. You've had two terrible losses to the Mavericks, where those are back-breaking losses, where you just see the Knicks are not able to maintain a lead. And then they just turn it around. And then it gets amplified once again with that nine-game winning streak because of Josh Hart.
Yeah.
Truly a turnaround story for the Knicks this season. And then you look at, not only did you clinch the playoffs, you won a first-round series, and then now you look at this team moving forward saying they're in a good spot. You got your reasonable contracts. The team is competitive. You got a guy in Jalen Brunson who you can build around, as our guy TM said. So, yo, Knicks clinching the playoffs. It's more than just the playoffs for that one. It's more than that.
Yeah.
It's this team moving forward. You can look at it with a positive light and how young they are and the talent that they have.
And it's about the window emojis, man, because at this point, you were all the way out there. You were calling.
Oh, yeah.
We were trying to get you back. You were out of there. No parachute and all, man.
No parachute.
Out of there. 30,000 feet up. Didn't matter, man. You were jumping.
Oh, yeah. Didn't matter, man. I was out in space. We beat the Cavs. I was out in space. I miss those days, man. I miss
good
those
times.
Days.
Good times.
Those are good times, man. Yeah. Good times.
Definitely good times. And a good moment on the season, man. Again, just based on where they came from and everything that had transpired after that. Good moment. Now for number one.
Oh, boy.
Number one. What do you guys think in the chat? What is number one? Well, first of all, let me make sure that the game audio is down. Let me make sure that's down.
Is the audio off?
Yes. But number one is no doubt the Knicks winning their first series in 10 years, man, since that 2012-2013. Oh, and we got game audio on that one, too. since that 2012-2013 season, the Knicks smoking the Cavs in a gentleman's sweep in their building. Absolutely, absolutely the number one moment of the season. Julius Randle did get hurt in this game. Obviously, that wasn't a good part. But Jalen Brunson, RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickly, Josh Hart, the rest of the supporting cast would pick it up. And the Knicks get their first playoff victory, exercising a little bit of the demons after they lost to the Hawks 2 years ago. And this was big. You know, there was all the talk about the spider and the storylines around Donovan Mitchell. Would he get his revenge for the Knicks not getting him? Would he embarrass the Knicks? And it was the quite opposite, man. It was Jalen Brunson. Later on in the series, it was R.J. Barrett. The Knicks were the more physical team. Mitch having his way with the Twin Towers. And Knicks were able to get it done, man. 4-1, a gentleman's sweep. This was great, man. This was great because I even had to go to Cleveland, bro. I was at the only loss in game two. I had to sit through all the terrible food. Gray skies. I felt vindicated.
That waffle that you ate.
Yeah, with a waffle, pizzas, cheese bread, whatever it was. That was when it was big, man. Big moment in the history of the team. Excellent moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big moment. Gentlemen swept, and it was convincing, right?
Yeah.
Like, when they won game one, and we were at the 40-40, and we saw that you saw the Cavs were shook.
Yeah.
Cavs were shook. They had their victory in game two, all taking team pictures with the chains and everything.
Yeah.
All right. Didn't matter. You ruined the narrative of Knicks needed Donovan Mitchell. They lost that trade, losing to the Cavs. Didn't matter. Did not matter whatsoever. You want to talk about having depth on your team? Look at that, right? Knicks kept their depth.
Yeah.
Were able to defeat Cleveland. Cavs had nobody after five once they put Caris LeVert into the starting rotation. But for the Knicks, man, excellent performance that game, that series. And that's why I'm confident, right? That's why I'm confident moving forward, because you see that Jalen Brunson leading the way. Josh Hart had a really good performance that
mm-hmm.
series. You saw Tibbs make some really nice adjustments, reading the game properly, out coaching JB Bickerstaff.
Mm-hmm.
It was good stuff, man. And then you think of how young this team is and just adding it to their experience and the takeaways they can take from that series. It's good stuff, man. It's a good learning experience. Obviously, we wish it could have gone further, defeat Miami. But you need losses in life to know how to come back and bounce back stronger. So, and look, if Miami's not showing you how important depth is, being disciplined, coming back, adding more to your game. Because don't think Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, and Caleb Martin did add more to their game to be more impactful this year. They did. So seeing their success should be a bar, an example, whatever you want to call it for the Knicks moving forward. But defeating the Cavs, man, jumping into space, let's go.
Jumping into space. MSG was rocking, man. I was in the building.
And that was a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a great thing, man. I was in the building for games 3 and 4. MSG was absolutely on fire. The energy was there. Donovan Mitchell talked about it, how loud it was in that building. The fans came to show up, parade outside after every win. It was a great time. Great time. And, after the letdown in game two, which, you expected the Cavs to give their best effort, and they outworked the outclassed Knicks in game two. After that, nobody came through in game 3 and 4, got the dub in game 5. Wasn't even a contest, man. Absolutely blitzed them. And like you said, Bickerstaff ran out of options very, very fast. Cavs are going to be looking for a wing in this offseason to move their team forward. But just a nice victory for the Knicks. And, look, second round, it wasn't meant to be. But overall, an outstanding series. An outstanding series.
And you broke the curse.
Which one?
As TM said, you broke the CP curse where you're 10 games and they all lose.
No, man.
You finally attend some games. They win. Thank you for this, man. We appreciate your service.
The curse has been over. Look, man, I went to the Denver game. That was a Saturday game. We beat the Nuggets.
But it's really over, CP.
World champion Nuggets. I was there. That was a big game. I brought luck to that game.
Look, man, sometimes we see flukes, but the fact that the Knicks were able to do it and win a series in the playoffs, now it's truly broken.
That was.
Okay?
That was.
It's truly broken.
That was. Because I did go – what games did I go to? I went to the Chicago game this year, the one where DeRozan hit the shot over Grimes.
See? Look, see, man?
Yeah, that was a tough loss. I didn't like that. That was December 23rd. They lost by one.
Go to the Hawks game? Did they lose that one too?
Did I go to the Hawks game this year? I don't think so. No, I didn't go to the Hawks game this year. I went to Chicago. We did a home opener. We did home opener. Yeah, we did home opener against Detroit, 130-106. We got a W on that one.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Went to San Fran. Shout out to J Cal. Shout out to our Bay Area squad out there. Obviously, we lost to the champs, but we were there. You know, we were there. We had a great time.
J Cal in the chat. Shout out to
J Cal. Yep, I see him in the chat. The Pelicans. Pelicans at home. We won that game. Listen, man, I went to more wins and losses this year. The curse is a myth.
Okay.
I went to Pelicans. We blew the doors off them. What was the score of that game? 128-106. That was a rout. Denver. Yeah. 116-110 over the champs.
So what's your record then from attending all these games?
This year?
Yeah.
Let's see. Home opener at Detroit. That's a dub. I did I'm sure I'm missing a game in between here. I'm looking. Golden State, that was a loss. Okay? So there we go. 1-1. I didn't do Detroit again. I didn't do Cleveland, Atlanta at home. I didn't do those. The Chicago game, that was a loss. Okay, so 1-2. Then I did the Lakers game. I saw LeBron. I was trying to go see LeBron make history and stuff. That was a loss. That was a loss. That was 1-3. Lakers game. Lakers game was a loss. My bad, people. Then New Orleans win 2-3. Then I didn't do a Charlotte game. I don't think I did. That was West Coast. West Coast was Denver 3-3, and then playoffs. All right. Hang on. Okay, so 2-3. And then we had the two games. Okay, I went to Cleveland. That's 2-4. No. I'm at 3-3. My bad. I'm at 3-3.
You're at 3-3, yeah.
Yeah, then I went to Cleveland. So game two, that was a loss. So that's 3-4. Games 3-4 at MSG. I'm up. I'm over 500, 5-4.
There you go. All right.
And then I went to
game one. You went to one Miami game.
I went to game 1-2 against the Heat. 6-5. There we go. Over 500. 6-5. That's it.
6-5.
I didn't go to game 5 at MSG. I didn't go to game 5 against the Heat. I didn't go to that one.
Unlike you, I am undefeated this past season.
Oh, you went to the two Boston. You went to two Boston joints.
Yeah, I went to two Boston. I was at Detroit with you, and I went to the Cleveland game 4 with you.
Damn,
4-0.
You went 4-0 this year?
4-0, my man.
Damn. That's good stuff, man.
There we go.
We got to do those more often. So I went 6-5. 6-5. Yeah.
But thank you for the series. The curse is over. We can move on now.
Yeah, it's over, man. It's over with, man. So previous years, it was bad. Previous years was like every game I went to outside of the home opener last year. It was pretty ugly, man.
Yeah, TM. Start sending me the games. Let's start crowdsourcing this.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, once again, man, salute to all of our sponsors. But the sponsor for our top five is our guys at Oakley, man. The sponsor of our top 10 moments of the year. Salute to our guys at Oakley, man. Absolutely excited about our sponsorship with those guys from golf to basketball to training. You know, if you want to look like your favorite athletes, man, definitely check out Oakley. Go to Oakley.com and check out the latest styles. Al, I got your pair. I told you I got your pair. I'm about to send to you. But they did send me a pair as well. Went out hiking with those, and I used those. And with the ones I use, they have like this dope like prism lens technology. You can see it when you put them on. And it's a proprietary technology to Oakley and available for everyday settings as well. If you want to know more, do your own research, man. Go to Oakley.com and check it out. And while you're there, get yourself a pair of everyday glasses that'll be sure to change your look for the better. When you wear Oakley, there's really more than meets the eye. Don't trust me. Don't trust me. Try it for yourself. I've worn a lot of sunglasses in my day. I've been rocking Oakley since I was a teenager. So like I said, man, they've been killing the game and continue to do so. Go to Oakley.com and check out the latest styles. Oakley's out. Yeah, man. I got to send you these, man. These are the ones I'm about to send you.
All right.
Yeah. About to send you these joints, man.
Oh, let's go.
I'm about to rock.
You should be out playing some baseball right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking like Ken Griffey out there. You know what I'm saying? Salute to Ken.
CP out here looking like he's playing center field.
That's right. That's right, man. Did you play baseball as a kid? I didn't play baseball like that as a kid. Did you?
I did. I did play baseball. I played second base, and then I played center field.
Mm, okay. I played a little stick ball, played wiffle ball. I umpired a baseball league one time. Don't ask me how that went. It was terrible.
There you go.
I umpired a little league baseball, trying to get a bag. You know, I'm a teenager. You know, you do little odds and end jobs. You deliver flowers.
Yeah, I feel you.
You know, I did a little umpiring for the little league baseball. No,
there you go.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah, I was so bored one time. You know, the kid made a pitch, and I didn't even say anything because I was staring out into space. And one of the dads was like, "Ump, what's the call?" I was like, that's a ball."
Oh, man. Yeah, I played Little League 1 year.
Yeah.
My pops was the coach. He loved baseball.
Okay.
And the parents hated him because he was all about winning.
Winning at all costs, man.
That was my pops.
Yeah. Dude asked me, what's the call on that? I was like, and this is like summertime now. So I'm like, you know, I'm teenage. I'm trying to get out, you know, hit the streets. Just trying to get this money,
baseball,
man. Get up out of there.
Take a long time, man.
Yeah. Yeah. B-balling tats at CP looking like Lindsey Vonn. Cool Mo D, good one. Hard tackle. Salute. Sponsored by Slim Jim. They say I'm looking like the Macho Man in here. Rest in peace to the Macho Man. Oh, yeah.
Macho Man Randy.
That was my guy. Iron Sheik passed away, man. That was before your time, though, Al. That was way before your time, man. You didn't know about the Sheik like that, man. It's all good. He was a legend. Yeah.
I just remember Sting.
Yeah. Oh, Sting was my guy. We can't go down that rabbit hole. We'll be here for another half hour tops. But Sting was my guy.
Wasn't the biggest wrestling guy.
Yeah.
But Sting was, every time he came down from the rafters.
He was the illest. Sting was the illest, man. Yeah. Takeout says, am I coming to Tahoe this year to learn to ski? I don't know, man. I feel like I'm getting to that point, man. Like, can I do the skiing thing at this age and afford the injuries? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've never skied in my life.
Yeah, I feel like the injuries will count a lot more, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Is it
too late? I broke my leg back in college.
Skiing?
No, playing rugby.
Oh,
I broke my leg playing rugby. I broke my tib and fib.
Yeah.
And I had to take the bus to class because I was in a wheelchair. And the bus driver's like, oh, my daughter broke her leg skiing. I was like, I'll never do that, though, because this sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Jay Callie, if we got the snowmobiles out there, let me know. I'll definitely jump in a snowmobile and get it cracking. That's one of the things I wanted to do, man. I actually want to go out to Denver and go check it out. Maybe a little Tahoe. Yeah, me and the Knicks chick were talking about going to Vancouver, but we're doing that in the summertime, not in the wintertime. So, yeah. Snowmobiling, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's definitely on the list.
I'm just laughing because TM says, you think that I'm like a 30-year-old Gen Z child.
Who, you?
TM said that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you, man. A young whippersnapper,
I'm a millennial,
man.
Bro.
You're a young whippersnapper, man. You know?
Young whippersnapper.
Enjoy the youth. You know what I'm saying?
I remember the days of Atari.
Enjoy the youth, man. Yesterday, man, I told you I went out early yesterday to the jazz concert. Shout out my guy Ty. Went out early. Did a little early dinner. That's how you know you're getting old. We did dinner at like four.
Ooh, an early dinner.
Yeah, like my grandparents' style.
Like whoa. What time was dinner?
Like 4:30, bro.
Oh, my God.
It was like 4:30. Now, the plan was to get dinner later, but this is what happened. See, this is what I'm telling you. I'm getting old. I went to the thing, went to dinner, came home. I was catching up on Succession. A couple glasses of whiskey later, the TV's watching me, man. I'm knocked out at 10:30, man. I missed my UFC fights I wanted to watch. I missed my boxing fights I wanted to watch. That's what happens, man. Yeah. It's to the point now I got to catch up on my shows during the daytime. If I watch a movie and stuff at nighttime, I'm sleeping.
I'll get you a life alert maybe for your birthday. Don't worry.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man. Sometimes those early days are good, man. You go out there in the day. You don't got to do the 2 a.m., 4 a.m. joints, you know? I used to do that back in the day. Used to be a night owl, you know? Get after it into the wee hours in the morning. Now you can do your daytime entertainment. You sleep by 11. You get your 8 hours. Wake up 7, 8, ready for the day.
Yeah.
M's giving the chat, has got to watch all shows twice. Absolutely. That's why we started weekly early, so I can go catch up on the episodes of Succession that I completely missed last night. Because I was literally in and out of sleep. In and out.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know you're starting to get older when you start passing out playing video games.
I haven't been there yet. But, you know, I haven't really got on the game yet. Yeah, my man said I need a life alert. I've fallen and I can't get up. Yeah, that was a classic commercial, man.
Have you fallen? And they'd be doing like the most obscure things, like grabbing the remote and you're like, oh, just falling on the ground.
Yeah,
or grabbing the pasta and it just everything's all over the place.
Absolutely.
You thought it was like the scene from Naked Gun.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Shout out to our guys at Oakley once again. Go to Oakley.com. Check out the latest and greatest. Also, remember that these shows are available in audio podcast format, man. Never have a reason to miss it. Go check it out on all podcast platforms. The NBA Report, we are live and direct. Usually 12:30 in the afternoon. So usually during your lunch hour, head over to the NBA Report, man. Like I said, we just had Jamal Crawford on Friday. We got some big guests coming up this week. Keith Smith of Sports Track, formerly covered the Celtics, will join us on Wednesday on the NBA Report. We'll dig a little bit deeper into the salary cap, talk more NBA free agency. This week on Knicks Fan TV, we'll do our draft Q&A part two. So we're looking to book a guest. We're looking to finalize our guest for that as well. So stay tuned for that. And yeah, man, we got to keep it rolling, man. Number one show for the fans, by the fans. The franchise, the Tradicaster, the young whippersnapper, and the old geezer, man. We out of here. Peace. Good shit, bro.
Good stuff, man.
Oh, man. Yo, these shades got to fly, man. I'm about to send you these, man. I'll be a man tomorrow, right? I kind of want to keep them, though. I'm going to send them to you, though.
If you want them, man.
No, I don't. No, these are hard, though. These are definitely hard. All right, man. I'm about to get up
watch
out of here.
Some shows?
Yeah.
Nice. All right, bro.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I'll hit you up about tomorrow a little bit later.
Yeah, man. No doubt.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Man. You too.
See yes,
you.
Sir.
Oh, there you are. You want to set it up now?
You can switch it to the off button. You
see it? No, I can't tell which one it is, and it's not looking. Thank you. Oh, it's on or off. I don't even think I did that, though. The system off button? Yeah, they call that 10 meters, that's what you want.
Oh.
King of Colossal.
But they probably done delivering now.
I think the 9:30.
On the app?
I mean,
on the website?
Yeah, but, I mean, on the website.
Yeah, that's like an extra, like, half the way.
Well,
it's... Right?
You know, right.
I mean, it is.
It's not far, but it's like...
Yeah, it's not
far.
It's not. It's literally 5 minutes. Yes, it is.
A little more than five.
Depending
on the traffic.
We get off, we're on Story Boulevard, and it's on Broadway. We're going 28, 30, 31 Broadway.
Uh-huh. All right.